Today on Real Life Radio.
The resurrection separates the believer from the non-believer. Regarding the resurrection, it's not only that, it's the Christ rose from the grave. There are other resurrections. Lazarus was resurrected from the dead, but Lazarus wasn't the Christ. God died for you and rose again for you.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
You know, the Apostle Peter, in his letters to the church, urged his fellow Christians to keep on learning and growing in the faith, in spite of their suffering and pain. Unlike today, however, resources were scarce. Still, they persevered, and Christ followers were growing in both strength and numbers. Now, there's no limit of ways to access quality materials on Christian living, including Pastor Jack's website. When you go to jackhibbs.com and click the media icon, you'll find not only Real Life Radio episodes, but Real Life podcasts, Real Life TV, Real Life basics for Christian growth, and even news updates. There's also specific verse-by-verse studies from books of the Bible, and so much more. So, head on over to our website at jackhibbs.com and click on the media tab. That's jackhibbs.com.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled, What Will Happen to You When You Die? Part 1. 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and he shares with us the reality of what it means to live and die as a Christian. You see, what sets us apart is the fact that the true Christ follower believes in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. It's the single most important doctrine in Christianity. So today we'll learn that when we believe the good news that Jesus rose from the grave and lives again, we'll see the value of human life and have a reason for living. Now, with his message called What Will Happen to You When You Die, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We have one this morning, one big, huge, gigantic point. What will happen to you when you die? We begin with this. It's arguments from beyond the grave. Will you write that down? What happens to you when you die? These are arguments from beyond the grave. It's our one and only point today, but I'm going to give you a list of things for you to consider. Bible open, here we go. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declared to you the gospel. There are three words I want you to circle. Moreover, circle the word declare, and circle the word gospel. This word, moreover, Paul, in a very tender-hearted way, listen to this, is amazing. In light of all of your carnality, Corinthians, in light of all of your spirituality, church, didn't we just go through the teaching and the learning of the gifts? Were you here last Sunday night? You guys, I have to tell you something regarding going through the spiritual things. I honestly, I am not kidding you, I had told the staff, I told the pastors we need to be ready Sunday nights because you had been invited. We were going to put into practice the things that we'd been studying for months. And so here we go. And I honestly told the pastors, we need to be ready for about 200 to 300 people. Did you know that nearly 3,000 people came last Sunday night to be prayed for? Did you know that we had, I'm thinking maybe it must have been about maybe 500 or 600 people were prayed for regarding illnesses? Did you know that we're asking right now for medical proof? We've gotten a couple of responses from people who are outright healed. And we said, listen, we don't doubt you, but we want you to go to your doctor now, and we want you to get that in writing. It's not that we don't doubt the power of God. We just don't want to have some goofball proclamation that didn't really happen. Did you know that there were people that were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit? They said that they felt the presence of God come upon them in a way that they had never known before. There were operations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, all in accordance with the Bible. And that's wonderful. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful. And when you think about that, then it's possible that the church, I pray California, I pray America, is on the brink of a move of God's Spirit. It's certainly overdue. Paul would say, far out. Far out's a Greek word for really cool. Awesome! That's a surfing term from the Mediterranean. He would say, guess what? Moreover, more than that, more than the gifts of the Holy Spirit, more than your carnality and the things of this world, more than anything else, this is how important chapter 15 is. Above all things, that word moreover means above it all, beyond it all. It is the gospel. It is the gospel, Paul is saying. It is the gospel. More than whatever your gifts are, more than whatever your issues are, it's the gospel. And Paul is saying this argument is beyond the grave. It's greater than the grave. It's stronger than the grave. This is the first time, as I said earlier, that Paul addresses heresy in the Corinthian church because it had crept into the church that, no, don't worry. Live like you want, because eternity and how you live are two separate things. The Bible says, nope, it's all connected. Listen to this. I want to quote it to you. For the last 2,000 years, scholars and critics alike, both in the positive and in the negative, have examining the scriptures and secular data surrounding the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, if they believe in it or not, they have all agreed on this one thing, that it is the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead that is the number one key doctrine of what is called Christianity. Remove it, and all that the Christian has and what Christianity is falls, and so do its scriptures. Close quote. Do you know that's true? Take away the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you, my friends, have believed in vain. Take away the resurrection of Jesus Christ and you have nothing. I don't care about your gifts. I don't care about your life and what it's seeking. I don't care about how high you can jump. You take away the resurrection of Jesus Christ and we are nothing but religious Greeks without hope. We have no power that has broken us from the grave. Without the resurrection of Jesus, we've got no deliverance from our sins. It is everything. But listen, all because of the resurrection of Christ, we do have these wonderful benefits as believers. When he says, I declare to you, listen to this. This word means this, to make known in such a way that someone may know it as anything else can be known. When he says, I declare to you the resurrected Christ, he's saying, listen, this is amazing. If there's a skeptic in the house, wake up. The Bible is saying from power and truth beyond the grave, time tested, that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is preeminent and declared, meaning it can be known. Right then and there, everybody in the house should just stop and say, let's put this to the test. Are you an atheist? Then be bold about it and put it to the test. The Bible says the power of the resurrection of Christ can be known. That's either true or false. You find this to be false, the Bible breaks down. Find out. I believe, you say, Jack, aren't you like kind of getting near the edge there of like spookiness? Not at all. I'll get to the right to the edge. I'll even hang my toes over the edge of spookiness. You want to know why? Every time a person has honestly, intellectually, with an open heart, pursued the destruction of the gospel, which the first attack against it is the resurrection of Christ. If they go to disprove it, they wind up A, making fools of themselves by their statements that they make, or B, which stands for better yet, is they get saved. They come to the knowledge that this is irrefutable evidence from beyond the grave. I told you before, look at it, the Arco volume, A-R-C-O, the investigation of the Roman Empire upon the Roman government, call it an audit, that Caesar from Rome had an audit done regarding the circumstances that surrounded the life of Jesus of Nazareth, his crucifixion, and his so-called resurrection. You ought to check that out. It's secular history. You ought to look at that if you're a skeptic this morning. And then the third word is gospel. The evangel, the good news. That word means the good news, the message which brings gladness. Did you know that the gospel, Christian, listen, I don't want to be like idiotic right now, but doggone it, I know the world is getting messed up and I know evil is marching on. And you know what? I've read my Bible. And it's going to get worse. Pastor, don't say that. Don't. Hello? It's going to get worse as the way the world goes. But every day you and I wake up. And how did you wake up this morning? Oh, God, another day. Nope. You woke up like this. Praise God. This is awesome. I'm one day closer to eternity. Did you know that? That ought to wake you up right now. If you're a believer or not, I got news for you. That's why I wore this shirt that you'd wake up this morning. Hello. You are one day closer to eternity right now. You say, well, I don't believe. You're one day closer to being a believer someday. You say, well, I'm never going to accept Jesus. I didn't say that. I didn't ask you that. Listen, the moment you enter eternity, you become a ginormous, huge believer in Jesus. Everybody in hell believes in Jesus. Did you know that? Imagine if Adolf Hitler could show up right now. You know what he would do? He'd preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know that? If Saddam Hussein was to come back, Saddam Hussein would say, I was wrong. Jesus rose from the dead. Do you know that? Everybody in hell's got perfect theology. It's just too late.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
The gospel, the good news. The gospel is the good news. And so we as Christians need to be acting like we have good news because we got it.
Oh, follow me to church, brother. We're going to go worship the Lord. The eternal God who rose again from the dead, saved me of my sins, cleansed me of all my wickedness, and gave me assurance of being saved forever. I have a purpose to my life and a meaning. Come and follow me.
Dude, keep it. I don't want it. You want to know how the power of the resurrected Christ often visits us in our lives? Is when we ourselves or we know someone who's suffering a great, great ill. And the gospel just fills them up, and they'll even tell you, you know what, I can't believe I got tubes coming out of it in my body here. They're telling me I've got a few weeks to live, and all I know for sure is it is well, it is well, it is well with my soul. Amen. Try that anywhere else and with anything else. It's amazing. In Acts chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible says, now when he had spoken these words, while they watched, he was taken up in a cloud and received him out of their sight. And while they, that is the disciples, looked steadfast toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, that's serious, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come again in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Why? Resurrection. The resurrected Christ. The tomb was empty. Why? Because resurrection. Get this down. Know this. It is essential for your salvation. We do not believe in reincarnation. Jesus was not resuscitated by a cold, damp tomb and somehow revived. That's heresy. Jesus died and was literally raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he left on that Sunday morning in Jerusalem a vacant tomb. He didn't recover. He was dead. How important is that? Luke chapter 24, verse 13. Write it down. Put it in your margins. Now behold, this is after the resurrection. Two disciples were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus. Some of us were there a couple years ago. It's amazing. They've discovered it. They found it. Which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And so it was, while they conversed and reasoned, I love that, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. So now you have this third person comes alongside them, walking along. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. They couldn't recognize him. Something was going on here. And he said to them, What kind of conversation is this that you have one with another as you walk and are so sad? Don't tell me God does not have a sense of humor. Then one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" Is this awesome? This is God talking. Hey, can you imagine these guys are walking along? Man, isn't it incredible? Hey, we had so much hope, but now our hope is lost. Jesus comes alongside. "Hey, what's up? What are you guys talking about? Where are you from? Don't you know this stuff?" "What stuff?" "What's he doing?" You say, "This is mean. This is mean. This is Jesus playing with them." No, he's not. You know what he's doing? He does the same thing to us. He's drawing faith out of them. He's going to, watch, he's going to have them make a confession soon. But it has to come from their heart, not his. See, we don't believe in some prestomatic religion here. We're not going to, and nor could we, make you believe. That would be wrong. You have to choose to believe. So this is very sweet. "What things?" And so they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping," notice the defeat, verse 21, Luke 24, "but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Verse 25, "Then Jesus said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe.'" Mark it, get your pen ready. You guys awake? Yeah. "Slow to believe in all that the prophets have spoken." Jesus qualifies his resurrection by the Old Testament. Verse 26, again, leaning on the Old Testament. "Ought not the Messiah to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses, that means Genesis 1. "And all the prophets, Jesus expounded to them," that's verse by verse, "all the scriptures concerning the things that related to himself." Jesus gave them a Bible study as they walked. Now, if we were a Pentecostal church, somebody would have said amen to that. That's awesome. Jesus uses the Bible after the resurrection to speak to his people about his death and resurrection from the Bible. That's how important your Bible is. How important is it? Mark this down. Oh, mark this down. I'm going to tell you something, man. I tell you, I was so convicted yesterday, I almost started crying. I'll tell you what it means in a minute. Revelation chapter 1:17. Revelation 1:17. "And when I saw him," John said, "I fell at his feet as dead." He's speaking to an angel. But he said, but he laid his right hand, I'm sorry, he's not speaking to an angel. "He laid his right hand upon me and said to me, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of Hades and of death.'" Jesus Christ lays his hand upon John and says, "Cheer up. I was dead and now I'm alive." Revelation 1:17 and 18. Revelation 2:8. Jesus says, "And to the angel of the church at Smyrna write, 'These things says the first and the last,'" that's a title of God, "who was dead and came to life." Wow. Why does this bother me? Because yesterday morning, very, very early in the morning, I had to go to the supermarket, put my sweat clothes on, grabbed a t-shirt, pulled a hat over my head, got to the store. It's very early. And grabbed some stuff that I had to get for Lisa, going back to my car, putting stuff in my car, and all of a sudden there's a woman standing there, and she hands me an Awake magazine from the Watchtower. She was a Jehovah's Witness. And I said, thank you, thanks. And I put my stuff in the car, and I turned around, and the Lord, I felt the Lord say, share with her. And I said, yeah, man, I should have shared with her with all the stuff in my hand. So yes, God. And I looked, and I couldn't find her. And I got in my car, and I drove around and looking for her. I can't find her. I don't know if she went into the store. I don't know if she evaporated. I don't know what happened. But here was a precious woman very early in the morning peddling heresy. And those scriptures apply, by the way, to her heresy, that the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Almighty God lived and died and rose again. The resurrected Christ, which she doesn't believe in. And I asked God to forgive me. And I asked the Lord, send someone more obedient to her, please, than me. That's all I could do for her was to pray for her. I had a moment. If I would have been walking in the Spirit instead of thinking about getting to the car and getting a cup of coffee and, oh, it's so early, what am I doing here at the grocery store? The resurrection separates the believer from the non-believer regarding the resurrection. It's not only that, it's the Christ rose from the grave. There are other resurrections. Lazarus was resurrected from the dead, but Lazarus wasn't the Christ. God died for you and rose again for you. Church, I'm going to ask you to write these things down. Are you ready? Number one, write small. What will happen to you when you die? Question one, will you die with assurance? Knowing that when it's time for you to die, is it in your mind, in your heart, that you will fall into the arms of the everlasting God? Will you die in assurance? Do you know that to be a fact? Because the Bible says you should know that as a fact. I want you to think, because God wants you to die with assurance.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called, What Will Happen to You When You Die, Part 1. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So, Pastor Jack, I hear that you and Lisa have a devotional that you guys have been doing together. And, you know, finding solid devotional material, it can be difficult. There's a lot of them out there. But you guys really like this one, huh?
Yeah, listen, actually, we came across this almost by accident. And I have to tell you, I'm kind of bummed that I didn't share this sooner. Lisa and I love this devotion. It's titled, Now I See. And it's spelled like the ocean, S-E-A. Jenny Coate is a woman who grew up sailing. She grew up from the youngest age sailing boats. She loves the water. She loves the Lord. And so what she did was she wrote a devotion that's based around the theme of weather, storms, sunny days, sand, life. And Lisa and I have enjoyed this devotion for probably well over 2 years now, and we're just getting around to letting everybody know about it, Davey, but it is an awesome devotion. There's so many out there, but this is so unique. I think people will love it.
Now, I know that you and Lisa are going through it together, and is this a couple's devotional, or is it for anybody, single folks, married folks?
Yeah, anybody. It's not focused on any particular a gender, it's not married or singles. No. If you want to get closer to Jesus, period, this is a great devotion.
So the title, it's dramatic in its wording, but I think that helps. I love a great story, a great analogy, and it sounds like this book is full of that.
You know, it's amazing. I have to tell you, and I think somebody who's keen on reading or keen on communication will pick up really quickly. This woman's got an amazing gift of authorship, okay? And so that said, she had us at Now I See with the word S-E-A, because we love everything beach. And how many people find solace at the beach? How many people love to be comforted by the sun and by the sand and by the sound of the waves and all of that? This book will take you into that scenario like no other. She will unpack and reveal stories that are biblically based that you're going to walk away with a great, great, great comfort of the scriptures.
Now I See, Spiritual Life Lessons from the Sea by Jenny L. Coate. It's available at our website for a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. That's at jackhibbs.com/realradio, jackhibbs.com/realradio. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.